Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy and a cold Burbank, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napson.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and I'm swaddled in multiple sweaters.
And I'm chilly Jennifer Landa with a cup of calf.
And look, a lot of you out there have the right to maybe poke a little fun, though Joseph has the credibility of being a cold weather kid. We West Coasters, it's at the time of this recording, it's 46 degrees where I am right now. All right. And I have an old house, so it's like 30 degrees in the house. But we're broadcasting from Hoth today as we broadcast from the middle of the holiday season, talking about breaking news from a long time ago. And we have a special look back a long time ago, 7 years ago. We have some cool award news, some trailers, a lot coming our way. Before we get to all that today, we, as always, want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for iPhone and Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we'll have our Four Center Recommends, a book we think you should download on a plane when you're traveling back home to family to listen on us. We also have a current ask, and we have already got some suggestions on maybe what the ask logo or theme song would be. I've seen some of that. Joseph, we're working on building our YouTube presence there. Do you want to take the ask and ask today?
I certainly want to. I watched so many subscriber asks on PBS breaks in between episodes of Doctor Who on PBS in freezing cold Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I grew up. So we are definitely building on YouTube. We've got some fun things coming, and we want as many eyes and ears on YouTube to join us as we try to expand over there. So we had been asking for 6,500 subscribers, and we blew that away very, very quickly. So then we made a big leap to asking for 7,000 subscribers. Since we've been asking, we've jumped up over 100. So if you are a listener who also spends time on YouTube, or if you're a listener who wants to try out YouTube, or if you're just a listener who like, I'm never going to watch YouTube, but I'll click that button. We would love to have your help. So try to help us get to 7,000.
Yes, yes. And cool things are coming. We've got some new content at YouTube only on the way in the new year. We got some cool stuff, but also the live Q&As. And we got one this Friday. That's right. December 16th, 4 p.m. Pacific. We have a live Q&A. Joseph and I usually sit down, pour some drinks, answer your questions live. And we do want to acknowledge, we understand we have a lot of listeners in other parts of the world where we're not everyone in California. And next year, we're going to look on having some extra times to be live where, you know, you and the UK can listen at a more convenient time. We're aware of that. But for right now, 4 p.m. Pacific this Friday. All right, Trailer Madness is almost here for the news, but before we do that, we always want to catch up with life and Star Wars adventures, and often they intersect. Jen, I know you're battling another sickness in the house as is the holiday season one with children. How's things going for you?
Yes, yes, 'tis the season for sickness. In terms of Star Wars, you know, the usual family stuff, playing with Grogu and things like that. But I thought about it and I was like, you know, I've been really immersed in the world of Willow lately. And even though that's not Star Wars, it is Lucasfilm and Star Wars adjacent, as I'm calling it. I am loving this show. I am loving seeing Aaron Kellyman having a bigger role. Delighted to see Warwick Davis back reprising his role. It's just been a really fun show to get immersed in, a new world, a new canon. And it's fun not knowing, like, you know, seeing things or storylines and not being able to look on Wikipedia and go, wait, do I remember that from this episode of The Clone Wars? No, it's all brand new for the most part. And I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying the unknown.
Yeah. No, I'm having a lot of fun with Willow. We are reviewing it over on Casterly Talk, but I'm not part of those reviews because I kind of wanted to pull back and just enjoy this show in a different way. I have a positive place in my heart for Willow, but I just didn't engage with it like other people did. And I'm just having fun. I really love the third episode. And it is, you're right, Jen. It's just kind of a fun world to be crawling around in.
Mm-hmm. A lot of magical things, a different style of show than I'm used to. And it's nice because, you know, as opposed to like House of the Dragon, where things get really dark, like there are some darker moments, but at the same time, it's also very lighthearted and fun, which I kind of need right now during the holiday season.
Yeah, it's a great holiday season kind of show. And you're right. Yeah, even Andor, the somberness kind of gets you down week to week. And sometimes, hey, we need that and face those hard truths. But yeah, Warwick Davis being Warwick Davis and having fun as Willow is uplifting in its own way.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to check it out eventually. I just have not had time. Still have never seen the first Willow film because I saw a commercial for it and thought it was more Star Wars and then got mad at it for not being more Star Wars. And have never taken the dive back in, which I really want to do. But it makes me happy when I see just a clip and like, does somebody have a wooden staff that maybe has some spells? Is that a scary castle? Great. I like that stuff.
I'm in.
Yeah. That's good. Well, that's good, Jen. Those are some good Star Wars adjacent adventures. Joseph, magic staffs, wizardry in your life for Star Wars, or what you got?
I would love some magic staffs instead of spreadsheets and stress. I'm joking, but I'm very, very busy with this short film that I'm going to shoot a week from yesterday as we record Sunday, December 18th. I got a big short film shoot that I really put a lot of time and energy and finance into. I'm very, very excited about it, but it's one of those like sort of it's all consuming. It's showtime. It's like putting on a live show, you know, but filming it. But you still need all this stuff. So it's been a lot, and that's really, really taking up a ton of my headspace. And the way Star Wars is filling in is Star Wars is like a warm little blanket hugging me when I get to take a break. When I have breakfast in the morning or lunch, I'm not leaving my computer, because if I leave my computer, there's a risk of not getting things done. So I'm eating at my computer and watching an episode of Rebels. And I'm so enjoying my Rebels rewatch. Maul is so great. The Bendu is great. Just got up to the Mon Mothma secret cargo episode. And I'm really enjoying it for itself. All the Star Wars ideas, all the beautiful landscapes. But it's also just that really great reminder that we all have we have fun having such strong opinions and strong reactions to Star Wars when it first comes out. But it's always interesting to think the first time we see it is this big reaction, but then it really, the way it lives on is where we spend more time with it ultimately. And time and context add so much meaning, not just from our own lives, but like the storytelling, right? Like the Mandalore episodes with Sabine, they were great and I loved them at the time. But now they have an even more interesting texture because of everything going on in the Mandalorian show. So I'm really enjoying rewatching Rebels in this new time and in this new context.
Mm. Love that. Love that. I think I might be trailing you on that there and getting there. I have a good new get back to watching on the treadmill, which is my spot to just kind of zone out. Well, that's some great stuff going on there. Yeah. And I know you got a lot going on, Joseph. So to find that comfort in Star Wars, even for 22 minutes over breakfast.
Yeah, it's just really great to have that feeling of like, okay, this is stressful. I'm excited to be doing it. It's good to be doing it. I'm stressed. But if I just finish this one scary thing, then I can watch a chopper assault someone. Great, great. And I can and look forward to that.
Oh, the journey of Chopper. My Star Wars and life adventures are a little boring. Busy time for all of us. Had a fun, busy Saturday that ended in a frustrating way at a stand-up show in Burbank that just was a whole nother podcast worth of struggles. But I always go in those times. I always go to Qui-Gon. I think I have to analyze what Qui-Gon means to me even more as a Star Wars fan as I get older. It's amazing how many times I'm like, man, it is just like Qui-Gon said. And I have to be kind of mindful of the moment more on stage and have my mind be present there and not worry even about the prophecies in my own head about how the set's going to go, good or bad. Actually focus on the present. Jedi and comedy. You know, not a lot of funny Jedi, I don't think. And you know, I think Kenobi's pretty wry, Rael Avaros, but, you know, not a lot of cut-ups and cards in the Jedi Order. Well, Quinlan Vos, too.
So, but Quinlan does bits, probably.
That's it. But that's the thing. You think of all the funny Jedi, they're all kind of like on the outside, right? Other than Kenobi. But he's secretly funny. Anyway, so that was just that. But I had to kind of, work through some stuff on Sunday. And so, start. And another thing I'm finding, too, is I do have a lot of Star Wars references in my stand-up. And, I wear a GD Rebel hat on stage. Like, I have people introduce me as a Star Wars author or podcast. I set the tone. It's right. Amazing to find out show to show what people know about their knowledge of Star Wars level of knowledge, which is a challenge here as well. I'm finding that midichlorians, not the universally known pop culture term that.
Is that a new car? Is that a new electric car? The midichlorian? What is that?
I have a reference and I'm stubbornly standing by in my stand up that it's I'm going to have to, maybe that's the lesson. I got to let it go. That's another stand up lesson, Stars and Jedi. So happy to be here though, hanging out with all of you. And we got some good news. We got some trailers to get to, even though the trailers are, one of them very familiar. We'll start with that one though. It is a new trailer for The Bad Batch. He had the Game Awards going on this week and that got some press we're going to talk about. But in the middle of all that, for Star Wars fans, we got the Bad Batch trailer arriving ahead of the second season, which hits the ground running with two episodes on January 4th. It will run through March 29th. There's a list of episode titles out there. Some people maybe don't want the title. Sometimes actually that's a good place to start. Off the cuff question here. Jennifer, what's your relationship with even titles? Do you want to know them? Is that too much of a roadmap for what the show's going to be about?
You know, normally I might say, yeah. Like with Andor, I don't want to, or like White Lotus, like I don't want to know the title of the episode because then my mind starts, spiraling. But yeah. With Bad Batch, I don't mind it. because, you know, it might help me kind of figure out where we're going to be going. I don't mind it. But yeah, the live action, for some reason, I definitely have an aversion to it.
Oh, so you're saying animated is less than... No, I'm kidding.
I'm sorry. No. there's just a lot more that I have to take in with animation and try and remember. Mm-hmm. So that's why I find it helpful.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I think a lot of times I avoid them, but I took a dive into this list of titles and got excited. And Joseph, you know, you and I love, you know, it's one of your favorite things too, especially with the Kenobi, Mandalorian and everything. I'm just like looking at the titles and what they might mean. So that actually has clued me into like, oh, this episode could be about this in a way that I hadn't previously engaged with.
Yeah, no, I love that across Star Wars of sometimes they're just sort of the pulpy fun. Sometimes they're that's just a line of dialogue from the show. And then sometimes they are this, ooh, that has three meanings. I love the Mandalorian chapter 3, the sin. Okay, well, what is the sin? That's a fun discussion. I think for me, if somebody just asked, do you want to know the titles? I would be like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Excited for it all, but I want the show to be the show. But these titles for the most part were like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to guess a lot. I think the one was, I don't have them in front of me, but one was something like the deserter or something like that. Mm-hmm. That is not right. But there was one that made me go like, oh, I think I could maybe guess some of the story from that. But for the most part, they were ambiguous enough to be intriguing little teases, but not make me go like, oh, yep, that's the episode where, you know, Tech's going to die or something specific like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do not want to know the Mandalorian titles because some of them do tip their hand, you know, like the Jedi, things like that.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly.
Yes, indeed. So not diving into titles, we're going to look at this trailer a little bit here. And this was a similar trailer to the one shown at Star Wars Celebration, but that doesn't mean everyone saw it, though. I think I'm trying to remember, Joseph, was it publicly released after? I can't remember. It was a busy day at Celebration, the Bad Batch day.
It was publicly released because I saw that it was out and I didn't click the link. I just Googled Bad Batch trailer and I watched it. I was like, that's great. Wait.
Yeah,
I've seen that entire trailer before, and then I found the correct trailer.
There you go. But we're going to dive on in here. Jen, we'll start with you. Favorite moments in this Bad Batch Season 2 trailer?
Yeah, I totally forgot that I had seen the first trailer or teaser from Celebration. So everything was brand new to me, even though there were a lot of shots from that teaser that we saw from Celebration.
Yeah.
Love the crazy crabs and the opening sequence. It gets just was like, yes, this is why I love animation, is because they can have all these fantastical, crazy creatures. Interested in learning more about Fee Genoa.
Yeah.
Voiced by Wanda Sykes. Curious to know if she's a rebel. Maybe that could be interesting. Happy to see Gungi. Or as I discovered, Dave Filoni called him Gungi, which I was like, what? Okay. Have I been mispronouncing it this whole time? I don't know anymore. So happy to see the Wookiee survived Order 66. And then one last thing was that quick shot of the Trandoshan lighting up Kashyyyk and then capturing the Wookiees. I can't wait to see that storyline and what's going on there. Those are my favorite moments.
Yeah. I actually want to have the discussion now. Sorry. This is fascinating. Gungi or Gungi, right? Joseph, what have we been saying? Now I'm even confused on what we've been saying for a long time.
I say Gungi. What we discovered when we watched the Clone Wars arc introducing and giving us quality time with Gungi is people say it about 87 different ways. It is clearly one of those Star Wars words where like, we're not going to ask the voice actors to be consistent. Just what did you read in the script? Go with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And I know I've gotten some strong responses, friendly, but strong responses in tweets before saying, they say it in the episode, it's pronounced this. And anybody who tweets me any pronunciation in the episode, I'll be like, you're correct. They do say it like that. They also say it 72 other ways. So I think it's one of those Star Wars names.
I mean, look, again, we always make the reference, but if Filoni lets Ian McDiarmid say Ash Shoka, if Filoni's like, hey, we're good. This is fascinating because, yes, I have said Gungi as long as I remember. And then, yeah, I do remember that Clones report. I was having dinner recently with just kind of a group, and I'd met someone new who was like a Star Wars fan. And he was like, my dog's name is Gungi. And I was like, well, what's that about? Like, well, Wookiee Jedi. And I was like, do you mean Gungi? And he's like, no, it's Gungi. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Gungi. And then we had one of those, you know, a couple drinks in hotel bar discussions where I was like, hey, it's Star Wars, Leia, Leia, whatever, Jan Dodonna wants to say is what it is at the moment. So anyways, that was fascinating. I think I'd forgotten the felony of it all, of how he says it. So, hey, we'll see how they say it in Bad Batch. Wrecker might say it. Gungi. We'll never know.
Maybe it just cannot be translated. Maybe Chewbacca is being mispronounced by everyone he encounters.
I think that would work for me. I'll just list some of my favorite moments here, then pitch it to you, Joseph. Yeah, remixing some of the things. I do love the crabs. They're just so vibrant and bold and different. And we are, you know, in this weird era of Star Wars where, because of wonderful shows like Andor, some of the things that Kenobi's done, even the Mandoverse, all that kind of stuff, we often pit these kind of styles against each other. It's all one wonderful galaxy. And I like to think that even as they are on Ferrix and the brick and mortar of Ferrix is trapping them in, you also got crabs running around a island planet. It's the same wonderful galaxy. I do love that moment. I love the new designs of the armor, the aged up Omega, clearly a little bit more comfortable. And yeah, I'm a big fan of Wanda Sykes, whether it's her stand-up, very poignant, especially the last few years. And also a big fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So Wanda Sykes on that show yelling at Larry's always been one of my favorite things. So much like Rhea Perlman jumping from Cheers to Star Wars, I love Wanda Sykes showing up in here as well. And the Gungi 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 moment is pretty darn cool. Joseph, some moments and jumped out to you.
Yeah, I mean, my number one moment is the longer scene of Gungi 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 retrieving his lightsaber and growling in that defiant Wookiee Jedi way. Really excited to just see that character continue. The character's always been really fun and interesting and cute and charming in that Clone Wars arc, but continuing what is kind of my favorite thing probably about Bad Batch is what is going on with all of these different people and factions in this time period, having, you know, a Jedi present and a Jedi Padawan. And, you know, hopefully it will either answer or continue the theories that Gungi rescued Grogu. Yeah, so I'm very excited for that. It was a great one. I really, really love the clip of Echo saying we should be doing more. Echo, as we've talked about, I really love his story and his perspective. I don't feel like he got as much time or focus in season one. So having him featured in the trailer and having him featured with his perspective as somebody who has been through absolute hell and knows what it is to be rescued, knows what it is to be given help when it's desperately needed, wanting to do more. I love that. Totally agree about Fee Genoa. I really like that if the Mandalorian is casting, you know, grizzled old surprise people, that this show is casting great women comedians who have a great no BS Hunter. I'm going to tell you how it is. it's a great pairing with Rhea Perlman. So I'm really excited for that. Yeah. Two other big picture things for me. I am excited about some of the characters who are significant to this era showing up. The clip of Bail, a great clip of Palpatine, battle droids, right? Yeah. All that stuff that's speaking to, we're going to see all these different perspectives of this era. That's great. Final thing for me, I was excited in the trailer to just see the word adventure on screen. Because I think with all the ideas that we're going to talk about, all the character development, I think it's so important to focus on Bad Batch. If season two is like season one, one of its primary goals is, yep, we're developing these characters. Yep, we're showing what the galaxy is like in this time period. But also, this is just a tune in and have some fun with your weird clone family as they go on an adventure. And the adventures are going to mean something. They're going to develop the plot and the characters. But also, they are just there for the sake of, hey, let's fight some crazy crabs. Adventure. Fun.
Yeah. Right. No, we're going to discuss that in a second here a little bit more as it relates to families too. But yeah, I love what you're saying. Yeah, and I had the Bail battle droids, the focus on Commander Cody. And I actually had hanging out again. I've just become addicted to Fortnite. It's a problem. I need to stop. And our friend Ken Plume, he's a pusher. He's a pusher. he asked me a great question last night. I wanted to ask you both here. Look at Cody. You have Rex on one side. You're bringing in Cody. what do you look at that character? And this is kind of transitioning to the question of any familiar or new themes jumping out to you from this trailer of what do you have? Do you have any wants or desires for Cody, a redemption story? Does he, you know, is this a tragic tale of discovering too late what is going on? I think it's a interesting ingredient into this bad story. It's not just simply Cody's back. It's like Cody's back, but he's playing for that team right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for myself, just hearing that Cody's actual dialogue was about, hey, I understand there are more clones who are rebelling. Mm-hmm. And then later, you know, dialogue about how believing the Imperial line of like, it's a continuation of the Republic. We're helping everybody be safe and secure. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm really fascinated with Cody as a character who is wrestling with what the Empire is with questioning Order 66, because I do think that's the big thrust of Bad Batch in a lot of ways is directly addressing the transition between the Republic and the Empire. So Cody is a figure who can do that. And we've got a lot of great stuff with Rex in his bond with Ahsoka, in his absolute admiration of Anakin, and his, you know, just assumption that Anakin died, you know?
Yeah.
But with Cody, how does he feel about Obi-Wan? Does he believe Obi-Wan got away? Does he want to finish the mission? Does he, you know, does he think it's an absolute shame that this formerly good man, Obi-Wan, clearly was a traitor? Like that relationship between clone and Jedi is something that's really interesting to explore since we saw Cody turn on a dime from handing him his lightsaber to shoot him down.
Look, it's great. I don't expect Bad Batch to go this one-to-one with our world, but the last 2 to 4 or 5 years, you've seen a lot of this of one family member goes this way, another one goes this way, both have a point. And to have Cody, I love what you're saying about him going, it's a shame about Kenobi. If he'd only seen the light and how much Cody would hold to that once more information comes rolling out, which I think it will to him. So Jen, any Commander Cody thoughts?
Yeah, no, these are all great points. And to see these two different paths between these two buddies. And I do hope that there will be maybe a separate storyline and we'll see maybe, I wouldn't say a showdown between Cody and Rex, but some sort of meeting of the minds or philosophies, if you will. Right. So that would be really interesting. I'm also interested in the fact that that Cody has been potentially brought back in live action, right? Wasn't he supposed to maybe be in Kenobi?
He was in an early draft consideration, I think, from like the first screenwriter when it was a film. So I don't think.
Right. But anyways, he is a beloved character and it's great to see him back and, you know, figuring out a way to bring him back.
Yeah, I love it. I love it there. The trailer presented some familiar themes, some of the found family. I had counted adventure as a theme as well, if you want to go that way. But anything, new themes jump out to you, Joseph, or just more of the really solid familiar themes we're ready to dive into with Bad Batch?
Yeah, I mean, I think the theme that they did start in season one seemed to be accelerating, not just with the found family idea, but that little scene of Omega saying, "You gave up everything for me." Right. And them saying like, no, we would have given that all up anyway. It was the right thing to do. You know, I think that speaks to this idea of they are continuing to protect and train Omega. They're getting her to be a good soldier/mercenary who can take care of herself. But I wonder if there's going to be this question of, but what are we teaching her to be? What are we teaching her to believe in? Great. She's got a helmet now. We're doing better at parenting. You know, she can take care of herself. She has her own identity. She has all these things, but you know, what do we want her to believe? What do we want her to be when she grows up? You know? And I think that kind of taking that next step with the found family is really interesting to me. I think one other thing that jumped out at me with the big theme of the transition between the Republic and the Empire, people pointed out that it looks like the clones might be at Dooku's castle on Sereno. Maybe it's somebody who just has a very similar interior designer for Windows. I don't know. But if they are on Sereno, that's yet another great place to explore the fallout of the Clone Wars, right? It's such a big deal that Dooku started his path by going back to Sereno and trying to take care of his people. And it speaks to maybe his people aren't doing good now that their leader has no head. And there's also like stuff in the trailer about like, hey, if you do this one job, you could be set for life. Is it robbing Count Dooku's family wealth? You know, so there's a lot there that I'm really interested in as well.
Well, that's an interesting pitch. Yeah, I like that the Sereno planet flag now is just Dooku's surprised face.
Hey,
whoopsie. Great stuff there. Yeah, I like the what you're talking about here of found family, but then what comes next? I've referenced this before. It's a great Star Wars like line from the Beatles from "Baby, You're a Rich Man." Now that you know who you are, what do you want to be? Kind of taking that forward, and how you hear some, you know, this job will get you freedom, this heist will get you freedom. Like, at what point is this transition to fully, a path of empathy for the Bad Batch that was already starting to happen? It's Austin surviving, and then Omega's changing that point of view, and then Echo, like you're saying, Joseph, earlier, just kind of pointing out some other people need some help out here too. Mm-hmm. How can that drive them forward as the Bad Batch really defines who they are? They got the new armor. The identities are emerging, and they are truly becoming themselves. We'll see where that takes them there. Jen, anything jump out to you?
This idea of freedom, like you're both talking about, you know, it reminded me of Andor. Like, at this time in the galaxy, no one is truly free because of the Empire's oppression, you know. And I imagine that the Bad Batch throughout the season, they're going to see things that are going to make them decide to want to actively fight the Empire. That's an interesting thing, right? Like, it's like Andor. He finally escapes to Niamos, this wonderful island, but the Empire still finds him there. No one is ever truly free at this time in the galaxy. Then also makes me wonder who's going to make it out alive. Is everyone from the Bad Batch going to make it out alive? I don't know.
Save Gonky. Hashtag save Gonky. Well, look what you're saying too, Jen. And I think I personally want to kind of try to avoid the conversation that's always about goes back to Andor right now about the way they presented the world. But I also think it's very interesting. I don't want to avoid it. Of you have Andor on one end of the story, literally coming closer to the end of, you know, the 19-year period between episode 3 and episode 4, where the oppression is really set in, and you got Nemec giving this speech of, yeah, it's, you know, on every level that they've moved in and taken over our hearts and souls and minds and worlds. And you got the other end here, which we're, you know, season 1 is literally the beginning. And now we're playing around that era of this safe and secure society is rolling out and who's buying in and who's not. We saw that a lot in season 1. I think it's an interesting bookend, and it's 2 different presentations, 2 different styles, adventure crabs and, you know, somber prisons. It's 2 different versions of it, but it's definitely, like we keep saying, it's the same galaxy and some of the same themes. I'm interested to see the beginning of the story even more here.
I love that it's the sort of the shock of the new, of like, hey, we won, right? Oh, we can't live here anymore. Oh, we have to carry these data cards. Oh, the Separatist planet is going to be viciously punished. Oh, and then at the other end is the slow choking that's going on.
Right.
Love it. I love it. I love it. Any final themes, Joseph, Jennifer, anything else you want to not leave on the table?
I think the only other thing for me is a continuation of season 1, that great line about like, hey, if you pull this heist, you could be done. And that great question of, do they want to be? Because if the clones stop fighting, then who are they? I don't think Wrecker's just kicking back on a beach, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't see. You want to go to Niamos? Yeah, I don't think so.
I hope they go to Niamos. I hope they just go crazy on the Pizos.
And the what's the crunch they have in that? I always forget that Wrecker likes the.
Oh yeah, I forget too. Ord Mantell Crunch, maybe. Mantell Crunch.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
So many treats. Final thing I want to discuss here. There was some hubbub. We love some hubbub in the Star Wars fandom. And I had missed it the first time. I want to shout out our pal Lauren Romo, the Galactic Podcast. She pointed it out to me. And I went back and watched it. And now I can't stop going to it because I think it's hilarious. The end of the trailer, on some versions, I think YouTube side, the version I linked to from StarWars.com, which might be the YouTube version, I swore it, some versions didn't have it, but the trailer ends with just a VO tag and a wonderful old-style radio voice, "Parents, the new season starts January 4th. and this ruffled some feathers. There was some discourse over this. So what do we make of that? And the old Star Wars fandom not liking that or liking it. Jen, we are going to start with you as a parent. What do you think?
I was shocked because I was doing a trailer reaction and filming myself. And I thought maybe there was a mistake. I was like, parents, maybe dictate the text because I had it on captions. I was so surprised. And then I felt a little weirded out. I'm like, wait, what are they trying to say? Like, I shouldn't be watching this or my kids should be watching this. I think what they meant was that they were reminding parents that this is a kid-friendly show because we have had Andor, you know, Mandalorian. You know, that could be kids can kind of watch it, but definitely kids are not watching Andor. I'm going to guess, unless they're a little bit older. So this is like, hey, parents, literally in the kitchen and you hear your kid watching this trailer. Hey, there's a new Star Wars show coming out. It would grab my attention if I heard my kid on YouTube Kids watching that trailer. So I don't know. I just think it was a reminder. I've never seen anything like that. I can't think of the last time I've ever seen anything like that. It as not like a joke. They were serious, I think. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But why were people upset? Because it's like,
I think number one, it was weird. I when I finally went back and heard it, I thought, did they cut some audio in like from something else? Like it almost seemed like it started, like you didn't even hear the pee of the parents. It was like, errands. It was like cut off of that. So it was weird. But, you know, the new season starts January 4th. Someone got paid to do that VO there, bring it in. I don't know. I think it's that age old battle of, I mean, I understand that we joked earlier, but animation is viewed as less than in the industry, even in the writers unions where animation writing guild jobs aren't necessarily guild jobs if they're during the quote daytime and all those kind of weird things. And you got that Chapek flub, of many flubs that Chapek made of, we got to give something to the parents or the kids are watching all those kind of things. So I think there's a natural tendency to be defensive when you feel as though the animation's been less than. But I also feel it's just reality of, we're coming again post Andor. We're coming from a whole section of the fandom going, finally, something for us as adults. Whether or not I fully agree with that statement or not, I actually, do understand that point of view. And you got adventure crabs on this side. And hey, maybe it's a reminder of to the parents. Yeah, sit down with the family and watch this. It's a different vibe. So I'm okay with it. It's just the reality of the numbers sometimes when you dive into those old analytics, Joseph. We love those analytics.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the it's going to be an age-old constant discussion in Star Wars. I think there's so many different fun tensions in Star Wars, from being this deep philosophical myth-filled thing to a pulpy fun adventure to preaching pacifism while also being a thing called Star Wars that always has fun action in it, or almost always has fun action in it. There's all these tensions in Star Wars, and I think one of them is always going to be that it is sort of it is meant to be, didactic. It's meant to teach a lesson. It's meant for children of all ages, and I think the only thing that is going to change within that is sort of the tone and how it's coded in our modern times. They didn't do a big job warning children off, but Andor is obviously very adult in many, many ways, right down to Musk's naughty S word. But I think the thing about Bad Batch has always just been sort of like, here, take it. It's not specifically coded for kids, like the way Resistance is, like, absolutely aimed. We were told it was aimed at younger kids. The style of humor is there. The first season of Rebels is very much get them while they're young, and then the show grows up with the kid, right? Mm-hmm. But this one's always been like, it's got the kid perspective from Omega, but tone-wise, who's it for? So I understand if somebody's like, I'm an adult Star Wars fan and I enjoy this. And then there's a voice going, we made it for people with kids. that might ruffle feathers. Yeah. But to me, it entirely reads like an error. Maybe it's not, but the way it is clipped. It does not sound like a one audio file with a fluid delivery of parents. Parents, the new season starts January 4th. It's just parents. Sort of.
That's noted. Why I was confused. Yeah.
It's like a kid lost at the fair. Is it parents? And it also happens right on top of the logo slamming in. So it looks like it should be Bad Batch. The new season starts January 4th. And instead it says parents. Whoops. I read the wrong title. Well, we got to keep it. That's the way it reads to me.
Yeah, what if it was an error? Oh, my gosh.
It's I don't know. Yeah, look, I think if you're going to do a warning, it should have been on Andor. Parents, not for kids. Yeah.
You're going to hear naughty words and see socks. Stay away with the kids.
Let me tell you one quick thing. I made the mistake of showing my kids Pinocchio. Only the first 30 minutes. I thought it was going to be kid friendly. I had no idea. I would have appreciated a parents, don't watch this with your kids or letting me know. I appreciate putting that disclaimer on it because my kid had nightmares afterwards. It was horrible.
Is it Del Toro doing it? The new one?
Yes. Oh. And I really enjoyed it. I did not think it was scary, but she was really creeped out by some. And there are some darker elements. And just the first 30 minutes, I had no idea. It was my bad. Like I should have checked online first. So I appreciate the parents on the Bad Batch because then that means I can show my kids safely knowing they're not going to have nightmares.
Well, I hope it's not an accident. And the first episode just starts with the most disturbing collection. I mean, there's disturbing stuff in Bad Batch, too.
There are.
There always is in Star Wars. It's just whether it's on screen or off. There's very disturbing stuff in Rebels. It's just off screen.
Yeah. Right. Hey, yeah, look. Yeah, even Vader with the mask cracked. And anytime the Emperor shows up in that scowl, I mean, that
gave my daughter nightmares, too. Yeah, I can't watch Rebels with her either. We're stuck with the Porgs and the Galactic Pal shorts. That's where we are right now.
But this is why we appreciate your perspective, all your perspectives, Jen. But this is an important one because it speaks differently to you than it does to me or Joseph or a lot of other fans. So there you go. All right. Well, we've taken a look at the trailer for Bad Batch, January 4th, 2 episodes drop. Of course, yes, we'll be reviewing that here on Force Center. Before we take a break and look at the video game side of Star Wars, we have an audiobook we want to recommend for you. Joseph, what do we have today?
Oh, dear listeners, savor it, because this might be the last time that we are recommending Padawan by Kirsten White. Ken and I are discussing this book very soon. I am almost done reading it. It's happening. If you want to catch up and listen, we do suggest the book and join it very much.
Absolutely. If you want to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. I'm almost done as well, but not as close as I thought. I actually looked at the page numbers and went, I thought it was less. So I have a lot of reading to do today. We're going to cover that this week. All right, quick break. On the other side, we've got video game news, award news, and a special look back at this day in Star Wars history. Stick around for more Force Center.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Force Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our news fleet and the Game Awards. I think that's what they were called. I meant to go look that up. The Video Game Awards. What a good name. Just a good branding. The Game Awards. There was a new trailer. It was anticipated. I saw a lot of people getting ready. The tweets are getting out, and that kind of was exciting. And then a lot of people reacted to it. We got the new trailer for Star Wars Jedi Survivor. It was released. This, of course, is the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order. The story picks up 5 years after the events of that first game. So roughly, sometimes Star Wars math is a little fuzzy, and I'm not the best at it, but it's roughly 10 years after the fall of the Republic. You want to put it down, but we'll let Alex and Molly explain that in more detail there. So looking at the trailer there, we want to start with some of our own favorite moments. Jen, I'll start with you.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember what my favorite moment was. Okay, so the biggest thing for me, the standout thing, was that the trailer was mostly gameplay, which is tends to be kind of unusual with video games. You know, you see these cool visuals and then it's like, oh, that's not what's actually in the game. So I thought that that spoke well to what the game is going to be like. Major shock that there are non-snow wampas. I just was like, okay, great. So now that we have these hot wampas, I want to see them in The Mandalorian. I want to see them all over the place. And then the last thing was that Cal had a Jedi Crossguard lightsaber. That was cool. I don't know if he had that in the first game. But overall, I was like, this is really cool. And if I was a gamer, oh man, but I suck. I suck so bad at games. I'm not, I can play Animal Crossing. That's about it. But
yeah. Save those bells. Well, Jen, I was going to ask you and don't time travel to cheat and get those bells. I remember that controversy in the mid 2000s.
Oh my gosh.
How much did you play or engage with the Fallen Order? I think the game came out when you were stepped aside from Force Center for a little bit to handle life. So we didn't get your full take on Fallen Order. Did you engage with that game at all?
No, not at all. And I have it. I actually went and bought it after I started seeing some of the connections that it had to Kenobi. And then I went, I got to play this game because I had been hearing people talking about this game and really enjoying the story and the character of Cal. And that I get the feeling that he's at some point he's going to make an appearance in live action. I just feel it because the actor that they cast, and I can't remember his name, people have really commented on how great his acting is. So I'm like, well, of course they're going to bring him into live action if he's that good. Right. And if people love the character, why not? Why not? Yeah. So yeah, I don't have too many, I have no idea what the story is about, but it looks cool. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. Of course. Cameron, Moynihan is the performer.
It.
Yeah. And, he's been in a lot of things, of course, even going back to Malcolm in the Middle. So it would make a lot of sense. That kind of jump there. So that's good. Joseph, sir, and we should definitely have a conversation about the woodland wampas or whatever they're being called and the style of wampas. Present in other forms, Shadows of the Empire, it's a different kind of wampas. So they've been out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's buried in your Star Wars mind if you don't remember it. I was refreshed by Twitter this weekend. So Joseph, some favorite moments for you from the trailer.
Well, I wrote down Dirty Wampa because his fur looked like their fur looked like they'd been through a lot. So we have Hot Wampa, Dirty Wampa. What did you say? Wetland Wampa?
Woodlands Wampa might be.
Woodland Wampa.
Wood Wampa. Tree Wampa.
I love this. I'm very curious to see what the deal is with the Wampa. Probably while it slaps me about while I try to do a cool, unnecessary lightsaber flourish and it smacks me about. There's a ton of great moments from gameplay to story stuff. I totally agree with Jennifer. I feel like there was what looked like gameplay. And I think one of the things that I was excited about in that just Star Wars should be fun and exciting, and that's a part of what gets us here to then engage hopefully with the big ideas. I think a major attraction of a game like this is, are there cool lightsaber and force moves? And I liked how much the gameplay was like, look, you can do this now.
Yeah.
Here's a different cool thing with your lightsaber. Here's a different way to throw people around with the force.
Yeah.
So I did like that gameplay stuff. And then the story stuff, I really think they're creating a great hook that, trying to keep it spoiler light for the first game, but that we end with a crew. We end with another found family, and that family looks to have gone their separate ways is a really intriguing hook. I really love the Jedi Seer Junda, and in particular, I loved seeing that little scene where she says, "I hear you've been busy making yourself the Empire's most wanted." Gives us a clue to what Cal has been up to, that he's not hiding his Jedi abilities and Jedi ways. But what I really love is her wall of Jedi archives.
Yes.
That had been something that the character was interested in, of like, let's rebuild quietly a little bit and keep some of the information. So I love building up something that Luke can go find later. So that was one of my favorite things. The Dirty Wampa. All of the animal shots were great. To see that we're going to be able to interact with animals in lots of different ways. But the shot of Cal flying through the air, holding onto a space bird's legs.
Oh yes. Jeff.
Amazing.
I would like to do that for several hours. Mm-hmm. And it also just really, it amused me because in that Adult Swim show that I wrote for Tigtone, there's a bit where I wrote where the main character Tigtone does that exact move. So it was really, really funny to see. And I would suggest people to go check out that episode of Tigtone, but in the great animation Cataclysm, it's been taken off HBO Max for a tax write-off. We live in a beautiful time, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Speaking of less than, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then final thing for me, Ken, I'm really intrigued by there is clearly an Imperial threat still for any Jedi. And what I assume is the Grand Inquisitor was in the previous trailer for this video game. But then this one seems to be introducing some sort of criminal bounty hunter, other faction invested in conflict with Cal. So I like the idea that the conflict isn't just being hunted by Inquisitors, but something different as well.
Yeah, that's a new wrinkle. I like a lot of that as well there. And I'm with you on some of the gameplay, the action, the animal stuff. We'll get into some of questions, wishes, and maybe concerns based on the previous game there. But for me, Jen, you're so right to actually see some of the gameplay to give you an actual sense. It's like every year I'm like, wow, the baseball games are going to be so good. It's like I can actually play. Oh, no, that's just the cinematic of the baseball game I play, not the actual game action. I've fallen for it my entire video game career. But this is great stuff. I like the worlds, right? Like, that's one of the reasons I want to play a game like this. And it's not quite, at least the first game wasn't quite 100% open world, but you do get a sense of where you're at and you get to go kind of walk around and get trapped and find your way out and turn the corner and see something beautiful. There were some beautiful Star Wars vistas in this, and that just kind of makes me excited. The story stuff, I agree with you on what you're pointing out, Joseph. Interesting to have them kind of separated. I know we got a novel coming out from Sam Maggs is writing that one. So that is coming out, the Scars, Battle Scars. So interesting to see what happens there. But I kind of like that. It makes some sense. We could kind of, for a video game, to reform everybody. Maybe you got to go find your squad mates. Where's Marin? Everyone's concerned about that angle. So there's a lot of cool things there as well. But yeah, I do want to ask any questions, wishes, concerns. Jen, I know you didn't engage with the game, but did you hear some of the things that popped out? It's a very well-loved game, by the way. I want to be clear. But anything going in the second game based on what you heard about the previous game?
Yeah, people, I was looking at the comments on YouTube, which, you know, can always be, it can be a little hairy, but overwhelmingly positive. People were so genuinely excited for this game that that got me excited. I was trying to figure out when the timeline was, because I have no idea. I guess it takes place, what, 5 years after Revenge of the Sith? So that's exciting. I got to do it. I just got to carve out the time because I do like the idea of being immersed in this world. But I know I'm going to get my butt kicked because there's just some serious bad guys that I'm like, there's just no way I'll just be spending hours of frustration trying to beat them. That Thanos looking guy. I don't know his name.
I think it's Timo.
Yeah.
To a who?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, there is I'll look it up instead of guessing, but there is a shirtless force user who is, you know, I curse his name and then I forgot it because I got sick of cursing it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But Jennifer, there is story mode, which is great, with it just this next level of ease.
What?
Yeah, and that's, you know, to answer your question, Ken, that's one of my biggest wishes is I hope they have a really great story mode. Mm-hmm. Because I really want to experience this. But, you know, I'm not in that point in my life where I could spend hours and hours and hours going, I need to challenge myself. I must beat it on the most difficult difficulty level. I just am not in that place. So I want super, super easy story mode.
Is story mode like creative mode in Minecraft where you don't have to worry about like your health per se or like beating bad guys and stuff like that? Is that what story mode is?
It's just set to like the bad guys don't need have way less hit points, so you can take them out. You have way more. It's just scaled. So like it's much, much easier. You know, I think things like your force powers probably refresh earlier, like just a ton of things to just make it much of an easier challenge.
Oh, I'm doing that. Yeah. No challenges for me. Easy peasy.
Love that. Yeah. For me, then I'll have you close here, Joseph, is I there's so many people that love this game and I support that. I did not love it as much as others. And I, you know, always have to be honest with that, but not dampen anyone else's joy. And I make jokes, but you know, there's some of the stuff with the animals and just the Jedi slicing down creatures was a little nitpick I had that becomes a running joke, but I don't mean to drive it into the ground. But I liked that the trailer showed that like you might slash some animals, but you also might pet some and ride them and fly with them. So, hey, I think that maybe they're addressing that there. For me, yeah, I sometimes love the world, love the creatures, but it's a packed galaxy right now. And you got another Jedi running around with a lightsaber out in the open. So I want to know. I want to see that dealt with on a higher level even. I don't need other parts of the Star Wars stories referenced in this. I don't need there's a Jedi on Tatooine running around. I don't need that super connected stuff, but I don't want this story to live by itself in a small corner. So let's see how it can connect to some of the bigger things going on in Star Wars. It's only question/tiny concern I have going in. But Joseph, what do you have?
Yeah, that makes sense. Taryn Melkos is the shirtless, annoying force user who is a headache for some of us. There was much swearing in my house. I was Sergeant Linus Musk with the naughty S words. I think for me with the gameplay, this probably isn't different because it's just the style of the game. I'd love it if you could wander a little bit more. It's fun for me on the initial playthrough that the game sort of rushes you through in the way that you need to go. Like, you know, on Kashyyyk, it's really beautiful where like I have to, you know, hop a ride with this giant bird and then I end up in this tree. And like, and it's fun when you're going through it the first time, but then when you can't just easily wander back to where you had been, that I prefer to be able to easily wander. And then the animal thing, you know, I don't think it's just a joke. We've talked about it a decent amount on the show, but there's an actual term for it. It is a ludonarrative dissonance. Ludonarrative dissonance is the conflict between a video game's narrative told through the story and the narrative told through the gameplay. And I think what people experienced is ludonarrative dissonance, where Cal, as it was going on, was reconnecting and Ser Jundo was reconnecting with the key Jedi tenets about we are all connected. Everyone matters. Everything matters. We need to use our powers to help people. I just made this speech. Now I need to walk across a field to a temple. And on the way there, I have to slaughter 15 frog guys. Mm-hmm. So there's a conflict between what Cal just said and the actions that the video game is asking you to take as Cal. And we've even heard from some listeners who are like, I put the effort in to evade the creatures, so I turn it into not ludonarrative dissonance.
Right.
But the game is asking you, the simplest path forward is through slaughtering animals in the first one.
Yeah.
So I feel like they are directly addressing that by putting in the trailer, look, you can make friends. You can ride them. You can hang from them, you know, that I think it's really, really addressing what I think is a legitimate critique.
Mm-hmm. There you go. See, I wasn't crazy, folks. It's backed by science right there. That Battlefront 2 story, I even though it was shortened from what even the writers wanted to do, I just love it. And all the stuff in Pili, it's great. And I think Aidenverse is a great character. So that's just my there's so many people just absolutely love these characters. And I do too. I think Cal's a great character. Sir Jinta's a great character. Marin's wonderful. A lot of things. The trauma, the recovery, everything. A lot of big themes in the first game. So I don't want anyone to think I'm not there for it. And I'll be sitting here playing. I got my PS5. I had to hunt it down. I had to go down into the basement and knock on the door 3 times and, you know, say the password and get my PS5. I'm ready. I'm ready to play this game, which is, as Joseph, as you've joked too, but that's something else too. That's means not as many people are going to be able to play the game right now.
I'm very excited for the game, but like finding a PS5, affording a PS5, right now, almost everything I watch is through my PS4. To play this game is an incredible investment of time and money that has nothing to do with the game itself.
Yes.
So that's a little bit of an obstacle for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's very realistic, and we'll see. That factors in. All right, there you go. That's a look at Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Hey, very anticipated. We're excited for it as well, even though our relationship with this might be different than, say, Alex Damon, who absolutely loves this game. And I always tease Alex about it, but I love Star Wars Joy. Speaking of Star Wars Joy, we're going to close with a quick look at some award news. Andor, the show, the series came up big in the Critics' Choice nominations. And as of this morning, added one in the Golden Globes. Andor was nominated for Best Drama Series, and Diego Luna was nominated for the Best Actor category in the Critics' Choice Awards, which will air on January 15th, kind of the early award season kind of show there. And then this morning, Diego Luna got a Golden Globe nomination. Golden Globes, they're viewed a little differently than they were even 2 or 3 years ago, and definitely 10 years ago. They're always kind of the more drunker cousin of the Oscars. Anyway, but Andor did not get a Best Drama Series a nomination in the Golden Globes. Star Wars shows have been nominated before, going back to Mando, a lot of tech awards, some fun awards, but there are a lot of eyes on this show, Andor, in terms of it being a, quote, prestige television show, which is something that I think Star Wars, I don't want to say needs, but I think it's a benefit to Star Wars to have something viewed as a prestige show, which is a special upper echelon in entertainment. So what do we make of these nominations and maybe Andor going forward as we look towards, the big one, the Emmys? Jen, I'll start with you.
I'm really excited. I think it's well-deserved. I think it's past time that Star Wars starts to get the recognition that they deserve, not just in visual effects and sound, but in acting and in story. And at first, when I saw that they were nominated for the Critics' Choice Awards, I thought, oh, they got this in the bag. And then I saw the other nominees, which are, you know, Better Call Saul, The Crown, Yellowstone, Severance. And I don't know about the Critics' Choice Awards in terms of like how they lean. With the Emmys, they tend to be kind of predictable, but with the critics, I'm not so sure. Severance could take it because I know that was a critic's favorite. Diego Luna is nominated, which is wonderful. Yeah. But Bob Odenkirk is also nominated for Better Call Saul. So it's going to be tough competition. But getting the nomination regardless is a triumph, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that, especially for Star Wars. And we are not looking down. No one's looking down on any kind of visual effects nomination.
No, of course not.
And I definitely know that's not what you meant. But yeah, I mean, we are talking about the quote-unquote big ones, the Glory Awards, the acting, the series, the directing, all those kind of things. Fantasy, sci-fi, historically been kind of tossed out of that. Jackson's Return of the King was even a battle just to get that. And then, you know, a show like Game of Thrones comes along and changes the game a little bit. And I think that's what a lot of people look at in terms of awards for this. But Joseph, your thoughts on awards in general and Star Wars, but how much the franchise, again, I don't want to say needs, but having something that people look at as prestige, I don't think that's a bad thing for Star Wars. What do you think?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, we talk about our Star Wars buffet, and I want Star Wars to have different flavors and tones. I want it to be everything like the, you know, early episodes of Star Wars Resistance that is explicitly for a younger audience, too. Something like Andor that is explicitly like, let's dive into these hard, painful issues of oppression, tyranny, democracy. Yeah. I want all those things. And then you layer onto it just kind of the way the world works with the game of what is prestige. Mm-hmm. And to me, it isn't about Andor, you know, deserving or not deserving. I very much hope that Andor wins. I went Luthen for a second Andor. There. I hope Andor wins. I hope Andor wins a ton at all these different awards. I don't know if it will do a ton for Star Wars because I think it might just reinforce the, see, Star Wars can be highbrow, and Andor is, with all of its awards, this is more evidence that it is above this other lowly Star Wars content, which people are always going to feel what they feel. I'm trying to relax about it. That's not the way that I'm going to look at it. I want to look at it as a buffet with different styles of storytelling.
Yeah,
Andor's style of storytelling and its utter quality absolutely, to me, makes it very award-worthy. So I think for the Critics' Choice in particular, I was trying to do a little bit of digging, and I think the Critics' Choice has had some ups and downs about like who the real voting members are, if it's more journalists from traditional outlets or more new media internet pundits. And honestly, it's hard to guess based on the reaction to Andor, you know, which of those kind of teams would, would be more likely to vote for Andor. I don't remember off the top of my head the sort of the Emmy cycle, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Disney make a choice to make a big push for Andor. We're in this time where the goal of streaming is to make money. But the how are we going to, what numbers, what can we show our investors to make them think we're killing it when it comes to streaming? And one of those tools is always, well, awards mean something. Their status, they mean something to the creators getting other jobs, all this stuff. I think that Disney is going to see the opportunity with Andor and make a push. I think there's going to be a lot of For Your Consideration posters of Andor here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I agree with that and deserving. Jen, do you have a thought? Sorry, I cut you off.
No. I have one last thing. You know, Star Wars gets nominated for visual effects and sound because obviously it's like, it's on another level, their visual effects. I mean, they are trailblazing constantly, and that's why they win, because they're excellent. But I think there's a lot of people, especially with the Oscars, where voters have seen Star Wars as, oh yeah, it's just got a bunch of visual effects, kind of ignoring the fantastic acting and stories that we have gotten year after year after year. I think of Mark Hamill with The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. I feel he should have gotten nominated for that performance, and he didn't because he was in a Star Wars movie. That's my theory, right? And so I feel like for the first time, Andor with Tony Gilroy behind it, and obviously everything, that the whole package, finally, I feel like it's gonna get past that kind of prejudice against Star Wars into potentially taking home an Emmy. I mean, that would be incredible. And I feel like it's past due. Like Star Wars needs to be winning all the awards because they're always giving us great, great stories and performances.
Yeah,
I really, really agree with that. Mark Hamill should have absolutely been nominated. Final thing for me is like, I'm happy to see Andor nominated for anything, and definitely happy to see Diego Luna highlighted. But I also just think there's some really phenomenal performances depending on the categories of supporting actor. Certainly Andy Serkis. But a huge thing for me is I would love to see Genevieve O'Reilly get some nominations and some awards. I think her performance as Mothma is really next level with that amount of control and terror that she's showing. It's just amazing stuff.
Fiona Shaw. Oh my gosh, there's so many good performances. What do we do?
And even then, you know, you look at even House of the Dragon, it's been weird to see who's getting the nominations on one side and not on the other. And, you know, and it's always weird. Awards themselves are, you know, I have a weird relationship to them. I love competition. I love the idea of winning, but also it's hard to put that to art. They also carry so much weight, and winning or even being nominated does carry some weight. And it's an interesting relationship with them. So there you go. That is a look at Star Wars news. But before we get out of here, we got a big This Week in Star Wars History, looking ahead to Star Wars Past. First, on December 13th, 1975, 20th Century Fox officially gave Star Wars a go picture. And who could have guessed, other than maybe Alan Ladd Jr., that 40 years later, the franchise would still be going strong and releasing new movies, which is what happened on December 18th. 2015. That is what happened 7 years ago when The Force Awakens premiered in the U.S. Cannot believe. We always say time, man, as Bowie sings, I can't trace time. But wow, that's a long time ago, but it was just yesterday. What are some of our favorite moments and memories from the release of episode 7 years ago? The end of this week, Jen.
It was a crazy time, and there was a lot of attention on us Star Wars fans in particular. I remember I got contacted by some news organizations that wanted to interview me about being a Star Wars fan, which was kind of unusual. Yeah, at that time. It's funny to think about it now because of how not just Star Wars, but Marvel and DC have really dominated the entertainment industry and kind of taken over, and we're now part of the mainstream, right? But back then, it was like, yeah, these Star Wars fans have been around since the beginning and haven't gone anywhere. So it felt very exciting. It felt like a new chapter for us fans. It also felt very communal to be able to go to the theater. And I think I went like four times in the theater. Each time it was such it was almost like a religious experience to be able to watch it amongst Star Wars fans, a brand new movie, not a re-release, not a special edition, not a let's do a fun night of A New Hope. No, this was brand new. And it was historic. I mean, it was not just historic as a fan, it was historic as a movie fan, right? I look back on that time. My daughter was born. She's now 7. So that's the way I'm able to remember when The Force Awakens came out, because it was a crazy time for me. She was only a few months old. It was I was tired.
I love that. The number itself, those years as they keep rolling on, and are you reeling in the years here? Yeah. I think if you're 10 and Force Awakens comes out, you're 17. You're out in the workforce. You're driving around. You got your own YouTube channel. Wow. Like, you've grown up with it. It's fascinating. I love what you're saying there too, the event of it all. And I never want to lose some of the joy and just the surrealness around that release. We have talked about it times before, but like I my first showing was, I was blessed to go to a press event on the Disney lot. And I was driving there, like screaming, literally at a stop sign, screaming, I get to see Star Wars. I couldn't believe it. It was surreal. And we're only 10 years after Revenge of the Sith, Clone Wars is gone. But like, to actually feel that again. And now that first event set the template, right? Especially for us in the podcast side of the punditry world. Movie comes out, you get premieres, press, you got to cover it. When are we going to record our review of it? And it starts to become that side of it. And this, all that was still in front of us. And so I was just more excited to see the movie. And I want to remind myself of that every time a new Star Wars show drops, or anytime once the movies come back, but anytime a movie is there, I don't want to leave that behind. And that's what I remember more than anything of that particular day and that particular week, that this was happening. And Jen, you're right. You know, the review interviews, I think of that, one of my favorite lines from season one of Schitt's Creek: "Hey, you're pretty. What's that like?" It just had that view of like, Star Wars fan, huh? Like, what does that mean? And now, 7 years in, it is a way of life for so many people. It always was for many of us, but to kind of, get to enjoy it and be part of it. It was fun. It was fascinating. So yeah, Joseph, your memories from that week?
Yeah, man, there's so many, and you're right. I just love thinking about the way our perception of time changes with our age, right? For us, 7 years, Jennifer, you can mark it with a child. That's amazing. For me, I can mark it with like, did I have that bookshelf in my apartment when this came out? Like but to think somebody like, somebody who is choosing to go to college is like, they were in high school and they are almost done with college. Like, that's bonkers, right?
Wow.
So I always wrestle with those kinds of like the time perception differences, and how much our lives change, all that. But for me, I think the magic of that weekend, since then, it has become an understandable discussion about the nature of nostalgia, about the industry's desire to look back to anything that had been popular in the past and see if it can be sort of revived. Mm-hmm. But Force Awakens is one of the things that kicked that into high gear. So at that time, I remember that weekend for being the weekend where the impossible happened, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's not just there hadn't been a Star Wars movie in a long time. It's that George was out there on the red carpet for Revenge of the Sith going, I did it. It's over.
Yeah.
Maybe a TV show. Bye.
Right.
So the idea that Star Wars was back in the theaters at all, mm-hmm. the idea that the big three were in it, the idea that Harrison Ford wanted to play Han Solo. Nobody had a blaster to his head. He did it on purpose. Mm-hmm. It was a different kind and a different level of excitement. And, you know, it's so baked into the trailers, and we talked about it at the time, the idea that the audience is going through what the characters are going through of, we never thought we'd be back here. A long time ago really is for a lot of us now. It really was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. All that energy. I remember being so excited trying to buy my tickets that I locked myself out of the apartment, and my wife had to physically run to the theater because I couldn't get them online.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about that. It's
like the only time I've ever locked myself out of my apartment, and just is utter just like, I can't miss this. I so miss the ArcLight in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It's more than just a movie theater. The space was physically built to be this mm-hmm. celebration. Like the lobby is this circle of energy yeah. with a bar restaurant on top, looking down. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect space to capture and celebrate film, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and that. I've been in that lobby then since then for, you know, Black Panther and for Infinity War and just a bunch of amazing times, but nothing like that. Just explosion of joy and excitement. And I was walking through that trying to enjoy and soak up all the joy and also just not listen to anybody's speech just in case somebody had a spoiler.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saw the film like four times that weekend. And, you know, my final memory is, you know, recording that, the review that Ken and I did. Right. And that review really kind of being the starting point of what Force Center would become, about the way we wanted to talk about the film. So lots of happy memories of that weekend.
Yeah, forever thankful for that. And yeah, you on Jedi Alliance with Mark Donica, me calling in. And just
that's right.
Easy to say, a similar time. But yeah, just the template for what was going to come forward of how we discuss these things, not just only for us, but for the industry itself, was being formed right then and there. Mm-hmm. So there you go, kids. We were there. We were there when Star Wars The Force Awakens hit theaters 7 years ago, December 18th, 2015. All right, that is a look back at Star Wars history. And now we're going to look ahead to where you can find us. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well, as we said up top. If you want to just head over there, hit that subscribe button, whether or not you spend a lot of time on YouTube or not. Or maybe, hey, you are a YouTuber you can watch every day. Hit over there if you haven't already. Some cool things coming. Podcasts available in a lot of spots, including Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Always love having new patrons. So we had this week about 3-4 new people join and headed into that Discord where they can talk about Star Wars with Force Center friends every day. You can find me at KedNapsock. Go to my website, KedNapsock.com. You might be able to get them for the holidays if you want a book. A personalized copy of Why We Love Star Wars is available through my own store there on my website. Jennifer, where can they find you?
You can find me on, let's see, what social media sites am I on currently? I just signed up from Mastodon, at Jennifer Landa, Instagram, at Jennifer Landa, Facebook, sometimes Twitter, but definitely on YouTube, at Jennifer Landa, where I'm posting reaction videos. I'm doing Willow reviews, recaps, and on TikTok, at Jennifer Landa 1138.
Good stuff indeed. Yeah, we are in Hive Social at Force Center, but we'll see what's going on there. They're right. Getting stuff settled, and we'll all be back. Joseph, where can I find you?
You can find me on all the social media that you care to visit. Instagram is great, at Joseph Scrimshaw. TikTok is great, at Joseph Scrimshaw. The Hive Social, when it comes back, at Joseph Scrimshaw. I'm still on Twitter, but man, it is changing as we record. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we will all have a good place to gather. You can also go to YouTube, and when you are clicking that button for Force Center, you can scroll down to the bottom of our page and see all of our own personal channels as well. And I would love for people to visit me at Joseph Scrimshaw on YouTube for all the stuff I got coming there as well.
Love that. Love that. All right. That is it. So for Andor and the awards, the Bad Batch team, and all those cute little animals that are going to survive Jedi Survivor, we'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.